The Occult Nikola Tesla. Part 1. Newton, Rosicrucianism, and the Imperial Control of Science. Was Nikola Tesla a great genius, ahead of his time as a modern prophet or electrical wizard as some have called him? Or is there evidence that something much more insidious was afoot? It is clear that a larger-than-life mythos has been built up around the figure of Nikola Tesla over the past century. An image has been passed down to us of a renegade genius, misunderstood by those living in his era, constantly financially attacked by the evil financiers who preferred to support the unscrupulous Thomas Edison or Marconi, leaving him poor, digging ditches for food, and selling his futuristic patents for money. But is any of this actually true? My contention is that scratching at the carefully crafted official narrative of Nikola Tesla's life and works, extremely dark forces are soon found lurking under the shiny surface which should not be ignored. In presenting this extremely challenging material, I will present several types of data, ranging from the political dynamics shaping the world in which Tesla lived, the handlers who directly supervised and influenced Tesla both before and after his arrival in the USA, the occult networks which Tesla interfaced with, the scientific discoveries which emerged into the world prior to Tesla's having made patents for them, and also Tesla's hypermaterialistic rejection of free will, creative reason, or a soul. Before diving fully into this exploration, I want to be sure that it is understood that the creation of cardboard cutouts is not only common across all facets of societies managed by closed... but absolutely necessary to the survival and promulgation of those same closed oligarchies. This is especially true in the domain of science. One of the most shining examples of a scientific cutout prior to the more recent case of Nikola Tesla is none other than Sir Isaac Newton. In M. Kirsch's extensive 2013 essay, Leibniz vs. Venice, The Battle for a Science of Physical Economy, the Royal Society and typically Rosicrucian handlers of Sir Isaac were outlined at great length, including but not limited to such names as Robert Boyle, Reverend Bentley, Isaac Barrow, and Samuel Clarke. The formation of the Invisible College, run as an esoteric society of Rosicrucian Kabbalists that took over control of the English government after the ill-fated Republican Civil War from 1640 to 1649, is another important consideration to hold in mind when trying to make sense of the vast influence that the British Empire and its Royal Society wields over the structures of scientific practice internationally. For this exercise, an appreciation for the Rosicrucian roots of the Royal Society can be found in the earlier efforts by occultists like Robert Fludd, Francis Bacon, John Dee, and Elias Ashmole in setting the stage for an occult takeover of England, transforming the once viable nation into the seat of a world empire. Researcher Tracy Twyman wrote of this college, saying, "Most of the members of the Royal Society were Freemasons, and most coupled their scholarly pursuits with esoteric ones, making the Royal Society appear to be much like the Invisible College which Robert Boyle, one of the Society's most prominent members, had previously described. He became an even more prominent member of the Society after 1668. In Kirsch's essay, and the associated documentary which this author had the pleasure of co-producing as art director in 2008 titled The Harvard Yard, it was revealed how the groundbreaking discoveries of continental scientists like Johannes Kepler, Christian Huygens, Jean Bernoulli, and especially Gottfried Leibniz were systematically plagiarized by the Newtonians of the British Royal Society. The repurposed discoveries were carefully removed of their substance and turned into the cold, symbol-based husks of formulae, devoid of any intelligible evidence of how those discoveries were made. To this day, no one has ever been told how Newton discovered any of those discoveries to which he is given credit, and the only chests full of Newton's surviving papers speak more of alchemical experiments and numerological calculations into end times rather than actual evidence of scientific work. Within his Principia Mathematica of 1687, Newton's discoveries are presented as a codex of encyclopedic descriptive rules without anything to satisfy a curious mind into re-experiencing the act of discovery that made those rules possible. We are left merely with apocryphal tales of apples falling on heads, but very little in the way of satisfying reason. Inspecting Newton's vast array of surviving writings in 1936, none other than Cambridge apostle Lord John Maynard Keynes said, "Newton was not the first of the Age of Reason. He was the last of the magicians, the last of the Babylonians and Sumerians, the last great mind which looked out on the visible and intellectual world with the same eyes as those who began to build our intellectual inheritance rather less than 10,000 years ago. Isaac Newton, a posthumous child born with no father on Christmas Day 1642, was the last wonder child to whom the magic could do sincere and appropriate homage." The discoveries attributed to this president of the Royal Society and warden of the Bank of England, who barely spoke a word in public nor defended his own views in any public debate, were all attributable to earlier discoveries made by real scientists using a method far removed from the radical empiricism promoted by the Great One, whom Keynes even likened in his text above to a new occult messiah. Kirsch himself makes the following observation of Newton's leap into Rosicrucianism. Newton's real devotion to alchemy began in 1667, after returning to Cambridge and working with Lucasian Chair of Mathematics at Cambridge, Isaac Barrow. Newton began reading and making extensive notes in such Rosicrucian tracts as Themis Aurea and Symbola Aurea Mense Dudicim, and the Fame and Confession of the Fraternity of Rosicrucianism. He adopted the Rosicrucian view that if one followed the secrets of Rosicrucianism, one would become part of a superior race that could talk to angels, become immortal through discovering the secret elixir, and infinitely wealthy through possession of the Philosopher's Stone. From the discovery of universal gravitation removed of the harmonic principles of Johannes Kepler, to the discovery of the infinitesimal calculus of Gottfried Leibniz, removed of its physical principles and replaced with fluxions, it is clearly demonstrable that all of Newton's major discoveries as enshrined in his Principia Mathematica are unoriginal plagiarisms published by real scientists before Newton, and in some cases, decades before Newton was even born. Footnote 3. As outlined in the Harvard Yard, Kepler's New Astronomy, published in 1609, and Kepler's Harmony of the World, published in 1619, showcased how Johannes Kepler's three universal laws of planetary motion were discovered decades prior to the birth of Sir Isaac. It also described how Newton's laws reverse-engineered and then reconstructed Kepler's discoveries. It is additionally footnote 2 I forgot to mention, even though to this day both Isaac Newton and Gottfried Leibniz are given honors as having co-discovered the infinitesimal calculus, it is a major embarrassment that only Leibniz's notation is used in practical science, as Newton's notation featuring fluxions and infinite sets is nearly worthless. The revolving door between occultists of a Rosicrucian Kabbalistic persuasion, as Newton and his invisible college of handlers were, and the exoteric face of proper Royal Society-approved scientific practice is not contradictory, but a constant theme throughout this tale, and the figure of Nikola Tesla is again no exception to this rule. Let us now review the only poem ever written by Nikola Tesla, titled Fragments of Olympian Gossip. "Too bad, Sir Isaac, they dimmed your renown, and turned your great science upside down. Now a long-haired crank, Einstein by name, puts on your high teaching all the blame. Says, matter and force are transmutable, and wrong the laws you thought immutable. I am much too ignorant, my son, for grasping schemes so finely spun. My followers are of stronger mind, and I am content to stay behind. Perhaps I failed, but I did my best. These masters of mine may do the rest." This poem is interesting for two reasons. First, Tesla here firmly lays out his position in favor of Sir Isaac Newton's cosmology over the new discoveries of curved physical space-time made by the pioneering discoveries of Max Planck, Bernard Riemann, Carl F. Gauss, Wilhelm Weber, and of course, Albert Einstein. As electrical engineer Jeff Johnson notes, Tesla was a lifelong defender of the physics of Sir Isaac Newton against the innovations of the upstart Albert Einstein, end quote. As we will see, Tesla defended the notion of a totally flat structure to the universe until the day he died, and promoted a form of extreme empiricism far more radical than even Isaac Newton's. Number two, Tesla dedicated this poem to the world-famous occultist George Sylvester Viereck, who lived from 1884 until 1962, with whom he shared the most intimate of relationships for over 25 years. As we will come to see throughout this essay series, Viereck is not only a close associate of Satanist Aleister Crowley, but served as the principal Nazi agent of the United States during the 1920s to 1940s. He is also the mentor of a conspiracy researcher named Eustace Newlands, but that's a whole other story unto itself. We may wish to hold this view of the two Teslas, that is, one a creative genius who loved truth and goodness, while the other darker Tesla tangled with occultists, but does this hold water? Were those death rays to which he devoted himself to building only about world peace, as so many have come to believe? Or was something more insidious slithering under the floorboards? Maybe Tesla's views on Nazi eugenics might help us to begin to piece together an answer to at least some of these questions.